Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you so much, ladies and gentlemen, for joining in this morning. We're looking forward to our broadcast together and with your dialogue and discussion as the input for this session. We're looking forward to your call-in, your questions, your comments. And we're going to be talking about today proofs of the resurrection. When previous broadcasts, we've talked about the importance of the resurrection, that if a person does not believe that Jesus Christ physically, bodily rose from the grave, it's an impossibility to be saved, according to the Scripture. Today, we're going to be talking about the proofs of the resurrection. What are some of the proofs? Have you ever studied that? Can you definitively determine that Jesus Christ physically, bodily rose from the grave based on the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God? The Scripture is replete with evidence of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, and being seen for 40 days and 40 nights. That's the eyewitnesses. We're going to be talking about some of those on the broadcast today. And as we look at the Scripture and deal with issues, let me remind you, we do so based on what the Word of God says. John 8:31-32, the Scripture says, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." John 17:17, Jesus further makes a declaratory, definitive, if you want to use the Youngblood term, dogmatic term, "Thy word is truth." The word of God, the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God is truth. Nothing more, nothing less. From Genesis 1:1 through the book of the Revelation, it's the truth of the word of God that I commend to you today. And as we talk about this very important subject, let me remind you, I'm looking at a book, and I know the author right well. It's called, the title of the book is The Proofs of the Resurrection. The Proofs of the Resurrection. It is the biblical account of the resurrection, bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not but about 110, 112 pages. And this is one of our newest books. Just hit the marketplace this week, and I want to make mention to you that anyone that calls in today with a question about the resurrection, insight, and statements about the resurrection, we're going to focus it on the proofs of the resurrection, we will send you one of these books free. We'll even pay the postage to get it to you. It retails for $15.99, but it's yours free today, including the shipping. For every participant of the broadcast today, you call in and you ask your questions, have the dialogue and discussion. Leave your name and address with Roger, and Roger will get that to us, and we will make sure that that's shipped immediately to your mailing address, and hopefully you can do so and get it in time to have it to share with friends and loved ones in your family before Easter Sunday itself. So let me remind you, title of the book, Proofs of the Resurrection. Be sure and let Roger know that you want one of the books, and we will send that to you. Again, the book is $15.99. It's yours free today by your participation in this broadcast. In fact, I just made mention to Pastor Davis. He's with me today. And I said I'm guilty of giving away more books than we sell because I enjoy seeing good Christian material, biblical material, in the hands of Christians to be used to grow by and understand and have a passion for the study of the Word of God. And as we face the issues, let me remind you, ladies and gentlemen, we do so because of the written, revealed Word of God. It is a true factor that the further we get away from truth, the more we find that there will be the indecision and the volatility in the world in which we're living in. It was George Orwell in his 1984 dystopian novel, fiction novel that George Orwell made the statement, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And may I say to you, we have drifted far from the truth today. And the further we drift from the truth, the more we find that the truth is despised, rejected, demeaned, and absolutely hated. It was the 15th century theologian and church reformer, however, that said, faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And that's what we do every day, ladies and gentlemen, on this broadcast, defending the truth, standing for the truth. And may I say, I believe that that's what every Christian needs to do while we yet have opportunity in the world in which we're living in. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of Honda generators. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff to answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. They have staff to answer all of your questions about professional landscape lawn care equipment, as well as for the homeowner lawn care. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is located at 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. That's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. A benchmark for your identification, there's a gigantic flagpole. I understand it's about 165 feet in there. It has the gigantic Old Glory flag flowing 24/7. Find that flagpole at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road with the American flag flowing. Base of that flagpole, ladies and gentlemen, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, when we talk about the proofs of the resurrection, I don't know of any more serious subject to talk about. I don't know of any greater subject that we could discuss theologically, doctrinally, and biblically than that of the proofs of the resurrection. You see, there are a lot of people that deny the bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are a lot of folks that will simply say that it did not happen. Some say that he rose from the grave, but it was in a phantom form. It was not physical. It was not bodily. But ladies and gentlemen, it's the physical, bodily resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ and our faith and belief in that that is part and parcel of the salvation requirement, biblically speaking. You take a person that rejects the bodily resurrection of Christ, refuses to believe that Jesus Christ rose from the grave. Pastor Davis, I don't believe that person to be saved.
Amen.
Based on my Bible.
Amen. Amen.
We need to understand that it's necessary. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the best-selling authors, and I don't consider him a best-selling author. He's a secularist author, but they call him, this title of the article says, the best-selling author declares Jesus was not on your side. Hear that? He said, Jesus was not on your side. This article is dated March 21st, 2021. He's one of the best-selling authors in modern times, this article reads, whose stories have been made in numerous Hollywood blockbusters, but Stephen King is now attacking God himself, end quote. Quote, Jesus was not on your side, King wrote in a terse tweet on Friday. Red State blogger Susie Moore said, quote, I know beyond all doubt that Jesus Christ is on my side, and it's not because of my conversation or how I vote, nor is it in spite of it. It isn't because I say anything or do something or can even say or do at all. It's because of him, Jesus. It's because he is my Lord and he is my Savior. It's because he came for me to save me, but not just me alone. That's a person that's refuting what King has said, Stephen King, saying, and I quote, Jesus was not on your side at all. Here's some further tweet responses to Stephen King. This article says there was a mixed reaction on Twitter because of what King had said. And here's one says, what a nasty thing to say. Jesus willingly died for the sins of mankind to buy back what Adam lost. I'd say he's definitely on our side, speaking of Jesus. Another one said, Jesus is always on your side. Another writer says, I'm not a biblical reader, but don't these people read the Bible at all? I think that was a pretty powerful statement. Another one says, besides his opinion about Jesus, King has also voiced complete disdain for President Donald Trump. So that should give you a pretty good idea of where he stands, not only spiritually, but politically. If he's going to have disdain for the Lord Jesus Christ and say he's not on your side, it shouldn't be a surprise that he has disdain for President Donald J. Trump, ladies and gentlemen. With these serious theological, doctrinal, biblical positions that we're finding today, ladies and gentlemen, it begs to be challenged. As we celebrate this Easter season, according to the Bible, Jesus Christ is God come into flesh. We understand the term, the incarnation. And perhaps we've not touched on that in a depth that you would understand otherwise. Incarnation literally means God leaving heaven's glory, coming to earth's gloom in the form of a human being by way of the virgin's womb, if that will be understood. That's called the incarnation. And it's where God became man. You ask the question, why did he do that? Because God loves us, and it is because he loves us that he came in the form of man, was willing to die, shed his rich red royal blood on Calvary's cross for your sins and for mine. But ladies and gentlemen, the death of Jesus Christ on the cross is not necessarily what saves us. Now, let me pause a minute. He died, and if he had remained in the tomb, he'd be no different than Buddha or any of the other false gods of yesteryear. Buddha died, he's dead. Confucius died, he's dead. Muhammad died, he's dead. Jesus Christ died, he rose again, having victory over sin, Satan, death, and the grave. That's who we serve today.
Amen.
And he resurrected, Pastor, rose up out of the grave. He said, no man takes my life, I lay it down, and if I lay down my life, I can take it up again.
Amen.
Only way he could say that, Pastor, is because he's God come into flesh. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Pastor Glenn Davis. We have the joy of coming to you week by week by way of the radio broadcast, talking about biblical theological truths. And especially this season, we're talking about who is Jesus? What about the resurrection? Is the resurrection necessary? Belief in the resurrection necessary for salvation? Today, we're talking about the proofs of the resurrection. We're talking about the proofs of the body, the resurrection of Jesus. May I remind us, ladies and gentlemen, on the third day, Jesus rose from the tomb. Jesus Christ is alive today. He's alive today.
Amen.
If Jesus Christ is not God, if Jesus Christ did not resurrect from the tomb, if Jesus Christ is not truly God, then according to the Bible, we're all still in our trespasses and sin.
My.
We're all as walking dead men. If Jesus Christ is not alive today, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says our faith is in vain. Our preaching is in vain. We're of all people most miserable.
Amen.
Pastor Davis, that's in 1 Corinthians 15. If you've got it, I think you have it. Would you turn to that, and let's read that to set the stage of where we're going. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 14 through verse 19.
Amen.
I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand this before we proceed further in talking about the proofs of the resurrection.
Amen.
By the way, that telephone number is 831-0917, 831-0917. Telephone call, get you directed through to the studios, right to our microphone so that we can have dialogue and discussion together about the issue that we're speaking on today. Pastor, read that for our audience today.
Amen. First, I do want to say good morning, amen, to my family and friends and everyone
yes.
that I ask, amen, to tune in today. Amen. We want you to listen attentively.
And remind them they need to be in church Sunday.
Amen. And let's make sure we don't forget about
That's
that,
right.
amen. And let's not be like some. They have a ritual, Dr. Youngblood, where two times a year they might appear in church. That's Christmas and Easter.
We call them CNE Christians.
Amen, amen. But let's make sure, amen, we understand that Jesus is the reason for this season.
Yes.
As well as the Christmas season.
Yes, absolutely.
Because just as sure as he was born, amen, he was also born to die.
Yes.
And as we are saying on today, Dr. Youngblood, if he didn't get up from the grave,
yes.
we would still be dead in our sins.
Yes,
amen.
Absolutely.
So going to 1 Corinthians 15, starting at verse number 14,
yes.
reads as thus, "And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain." Amen. Not only the preachers, amen, are preaching for nothing.
Yes.
But your faith is vain. It's empty. It means, amen, you are believing, amen, for nothing. Amen.
Yes.
You're not getting any
that word vain means vacuous, void, empty, nothingness.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. You're not getting any due process
That's
out
right.
of this.
That's
in
right.
other words, amen. So it's saying here, amen, verse 15, "Yea, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom he raised not up, if so be that the dead rise not. For if the dead rise not, then is not Christ raised. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain, ye are yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If in this life, this is verse number 19, only we have hope in Christ, we are of all men most miserable. Amen?
Amen.
So that means, amen, while we are living, Dr. Youngblood, we have this hope. But also, amen, after we die, we still, amen, we die in the same hope, because the Bible tells us, amen, that just like Christ died and was raised from the dead, he's also going to raise us up also. Amen?
Absolutely. If we didn't have that hope, that promise, that assurance, we'd be of all men most miserable.
Amen.
Amen. Pastor, I believe we have a call on the line. Joseph, go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Pastor. 500 people saw him after his death. That's a lot of people. Multitudes were willing to die for him. You know, a lot, to be willing to die for somebody, I mean, that says a lot. Of course, he did all these miracles. He raised Lazarus and other people, healing the blind, the deaf, the crippled. I mean, he had, he get proof of who he was is very clear.
Very clear in the scripture. In fact, we'll talk about it in a minute, and it's talking about the infallible proofs. In fact, you're talking about in 1 Corinthians 15:6 says, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain unto this present day, but some are fallen asleep. And that's the Apostle Paul's statement in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you're exactly right. And yet, there are a number of people today that disbelieve that Jesus Christ rose physically, bodily, from the grave. And yet, Joseph, you and I both know, based on the scripture, that people saw him. In fact, with the two on the road to Emmaus, he ate fried fish with them. They had a fish fry, and he sat down and ate with them in his physical body. And certainly that validates it was an actual physical body if he's going to have a fish fry and eat fish with them.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Brother Joseph, thank you so much for your call and for your insight on that. Leave that information with Roger, and we'll get you one of the books, Proofs of the Resurrection, in the mail to you. And I pray it'll be a blessing for you.
Amen. You know, Dr. Youngblood, another thing we need to realize onto what you were saying, and it's a great book that you have, amen, that will open up a lot of understanding to us, amen, as a very more concrete proof,
yes,
amen, that Christ really did raise bodily from the dead. Number one, the Father promised to raise him up.
That's right.
God didn't have a reason to tell us a lie.
That's right.
We have to notice and understand this, amen. Whatever God says, he's able to deliver. And not only that, I'm going to let you get back to what you were about to say. Amen.
Amen.
He ratified the new covenant. We are the new covenant Christians, New Testament Christians on today. Mm-hmm. Amen. And if he had stayed in the grave, Dr. Youngblood, the new covenant would never be of none effect for us right now on today.
Be invalid.
Amen. 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 We would be still yet lost in our sins.
Yes.
Because he came to do exactly what he said. Well, what his name says. In the book of Matthew 1, amen, verse number 21 says, and she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins.
Right.
So he came to save us from sin. Now, if he wasn't raised from the dead, Dr. Youngblood, we could not be saved on
the
day.
Absolutely.
So the church is thriving today. You are here today. I'm here today. Why? Because Jesus got up from the grave. Amen.
I
praise
like
God.
Absolutely.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the proofs of the resurrection. We're going to get into the minutiae of that, if I could call it that, the details of it in just a moment. But that telephone number is 831-0917. We're talking about the proofs of the resurrection. And I'm looking at the new book that we've had the privilege of researching, writing, publishing, and it's transcribed from the pulpit message of the same title, The Proofs of the Resurrection. Subtitle says, he is not here, for he is risen, as he said, Matthew 28 and verse 6. And so let me encourage you to participate today by your call, 831-0917. Pastor Davis, it's very, very clear that multitudes today will, as I call it, ridicule and reject and refuse to believe that Jesus Christ actually rose from the dead bodily. To reject the Lord Jesus Christ is to reject the truth of the Word of God. And there are a lot of people that are doing that today. I'm looking at an article that says resurrection did not happen. Say, one quarter of Christians. This title, ladies and gentlemen, is frightening. One fourth of Christians, so-called Christians,
my,
say that Jesus did not physically, bodily, resurrect from the tomb. This article reads, and I'll read just a portion for the substantiation of the statement. This article says a quarter of people who describe themselves as Christians do not believe in the resurrection of Jesus, a survey commissioned by the BBC. That's for Great Britain. However, almost one in ten of no religion say they do believe the Easter story, but it has some content that should not be taken literally. Further, the article states the Church of England said it showed many people held religious beliefs. The research was commissioned by BBC local radio for Palm Sunday. The survey suggested, and I'm going to give you the statistics, 17% of all people believe the Bible version word for word. 31% of Christians believe the word for word, the Bible version, rising to 57% among active Christians. Those who go to church on a regular basis at least once a month, they call active. Secondly, it says, exactly half of all people surveyed do not believe in the resurrection at all. Further, it says 46% of the people say they believe in some form of life after death. 20% of non-religious people say they believe in some form of life after death. 9% of non-religious people believe in the resurrection. 1% of whom say they believe it to be literal. In other words, ladies and gentlemen, in the BBC, that's Christians in Great Britain, in the BBC survey, 1%. 1% of all of what they say, 1% of those that are non-religious believe that there is a literal resurrection. But half, 50%, do not believe in the resurrection and yet claim to be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, we're rapidly coming to that default position in America today where multitudes of Christians across denominational lines are now saying they do not believe that Jesus physically, bodily, resurrected from the tomb. But ladies and gentlemen, there are infallible proofs, according to my Bible, infallible proofs. Let me read to you Acts chapter 1 and verse 3. Acts chapter 1, verse 3, to whom also he, that speaking of Jesus, showed himself alive after his passion, that is, after his death, suffering, that is, crucifixion, his death, his suffering, his crucifixion, by many infallible proofs. That word many, ladies and gentlemen, comes to the Greek word megas. We get our word mega, are major numbers, major, mega, infallible proofs. Being seen, this scripture says, of them 40 days, and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. So, ladies and gentlemen, the scripture says that there are many megas, as the country boy and me would say, humongous buckets full of proof, infallible proofs. Now, let's look at this before we look at those proofs. What does the word infallible mean? What does the word infallible mean? It means flawless. I'm going back to a dictionary definition. Flawless, impeccable, perfect, precise, accurate, never failing, guaranteed, dependable, trustworthy, reliable, sure, certain. And then further, according to Webster's dictionary, infallible means incapable of error.
Amen.
So, Pastor, when the Bible says there are many infallible proofs, it means proofs that are incapable of having error, proofs that are flawless, proofs that are accurate, proofs that are guaranteed, proofs that are trustworthy and dependable and reliable and certain. And so some of these infallible proofs, ladies and gentlemen, of Jesus' bodily resurrection, we're going to look at today in this broadcast. And we might be able to get through all of them. There are 12 proofs of the resurrection. Now, Pastor, I've said before, as I teach in the classroom when I'm teaching Christology, the number of people that have come up with 5, 6, 7, 8, or 9, I've studying the scripture, I've determined there are at least 12 infallible proofs.
Amen.
And we'll talk about them. And the 12th one is perhaps the one that's most valuable, viable, and life-changing to an individual today. And we'll talk about that in a moment, ladies and gentlemen. First of all, there must be what I call, and I'm going from the outline that I developed in my book, The Proofs of the Resurrection, what is called the preponderance of evidence, and then what I call the plethora of witnesses. The preponderance of evidence. I'm going to read John chapter 20, and it says this: "The first day of the week cometh Mary Magdalene early, where it was yet dark, unto the sepulchre, and seeth the stone taken away from the sepulchre." The stone is gone.
Amen.
That's the first empirical evidence. It is the preponderance of the evidence that the stone is gone. Now, Pastor, let's just bounce this around for a moment. Some people say that they come up with different irrationalities about why the stone was removed. Did that stone have to be removed for Jesus to come out?
Well, him being the Son of God and having all power in his hands, I don't believe, amen, that the stone had to be removed for him.
He could have come out just like after his resurrection, he walked through the door with the disciples in the upper room, and the scripture says, and the door being closed, Jesus appeared unto them.
Amen.
His
Amen.
Resurrected body, the molecular structure of the human tissue changed dramatically in his resurrected body.
Amen.
And
Amen.
So in that resurrected body, but the fact is, ladies and gentlemen, the stone was gone.
Amen.
The stone was gone. Now, you ask the question, why was the stone gone? Was it to let Jesus out? And Pastor Davis and I both concluded that it's not to let Jesus out.
Well,
if Jesus Christ is God, he could come out without it being open.
Amen.
But why was it open? Why was the stone removed?
Well, let me throw another little thing in there just for thought on the
All
day.
Right.
For some people, the stone is still there.
That's right.
That stone in their hearts.
That's right.
That's why they can't accept.
That's right. They can't
Amen.
Accept.
Amen. Who
Takes
he is.
Faith. Amen. Faith.
You
faith.
Have to remove the stone so that you could go in and see.
That's right.
For yourself.
That's right.
Amen. You be the eyewitness and know and understand that he is risen.
And that is a faith factor.
Amen.
Absolutely.
Amen. Amen.
You see, ladies and gentlemen, you have to deal with this first and foremost. What I'm calling the preponderance of evidence. Number one, the stone is gone. And the reason the stone was gone was not to let Jesus out, but to let the eyewitnesses in.
Amen.
To
Amen.
See that the tomb is empty.
Amen.
The tomb was empty. In fact, it is recorded, ladies and gentlemen, not just in the John chapter 20, verse 1 and 2, but it's also, if you weren't making notes, it's in Mark 16, verses 1 through 8, Mark 15, verses 41 through 47, Matthew 28, verses 1 through 4.
Amen.
There are a variety of texts, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll read some of these additional texts in just a moment. But ladies and gentlemen, the stone is gone. That's the first and foremost thing that we need to recognize. And the stone is gone. But ladies and gentlemen, not only the stone is gone, but the Savior is gone.
Amen.
The Savior is gone. Pastor, read for us that in Matthew 28, verses 1 through 6.
Amen. Says here, in the end of the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, came Mary Magdalene and the other Mary to see the sepulcher. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for the angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat upon it. And his countenance was like lightning and his raiment white as snow. And for fear of him, the keepers did shake and became as dead men. And the angel answered and said unto the women, fear not ye, for I know that ye seek Jesus, which was crucified. He is not here. He is risen. As he said, come, see the place where the Lord lay.
So, ladies and gentlemen, the first two things we see, the stone is gone and the Savior is gone. The tomb is empty. He's gone. He's not in the tomb. And may I say to you, ladies and gentlemen, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive, he's alive today because he came up out of that tomb. He lives today. And if you've said yes to him, he lives in your heart. Ladies and gentlemen, don't turn your dial. We're going to have a one-minute news break at the top of the hour. Be right back as we continue today on Let's Face the Issue.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.